You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Father's heart, and I see Selah running up to Jordan, and she just reaches her little arms up, and it's his good pleasure to scoop him up into her arms, to scoop her up into his arms. And how much more does our Heavenly Father say, come up here, come up now, my beloved. And we can feel so small, but as we just lift our arms to him, and say, Papa, I want to be close to you. I want to be near to you, Jesus. He says, come up here. Come up now, my beloved. And he makes the way. Jesus, you made the way to be with our Father, for us to be so close. And then I was thinking about the woman with the issue of blood, and she just had to touch the hem of Jesus's garment, the hem, like the tiniest little bottom edge corner, just the hem. And in an instant, she was healed of something that she had suffered for 12 years, spent all of her money on, trying to get cured from. And just in that instant, that just tiny little piece of Jesus brought her complete healing, complete freedom. And as we reach out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment again, I just see him like wrapping his arms around us. Like, it's, you don't just get the hem. You might just be crying out for a hem, but he's saying, you get all of me, all of my power. All, everything that I am is, it's yours. And he just like envelops us in his arm and covers us in his cloak. And he says, I will fill you with power from on high. And that's our portion. So that's for every person that's here today, whether it's a physical or an emotional healing that you're crying out for, or if it's the salvation of a loved one, or if it's freedom from addiction or temptation, or just something that you keep going back to that you can't seem to get to leave behind. Jesus is saying that the power for that is in me. Just reach out. Just reach out. So right now, I just encourage you to reach out to Jesus for whatever it is that you need. Whatever it is, and he's so good. He's so loving to meet and exceed every need. So I thank you for that, God. I thank you that as we cry out to you this morning, we just want to touch your hem and you say, all that I am is yours. All that I have is yours. Anything that you ask in my name, I will do for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're such a good and loving Father. You just want us to come close. You're just calling us into a deeper place of encounter today. Out one more time. I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. Yes, Jesus. I hope that that would just be our prayer, the cry of each and every person's heart today, that we would lay down all lesser things for his greater gain. He is alive inside of us, his power, his might, his love, his holiness is alive inside of us. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, good morning, everybody. This has been a really good weekend. I hope, did everybody have a good weekend? I hope so. I know some people have been sick and some kids have been sick, and just been praying a lot for healing for each and every person. So if you or anyone in your household is or has been sick, I just thank you, Jesus, that you would bring a clean sweep in this place, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that healing is our portion, health is our portion, God. We say no to sickness in our friends and our families here in our frontline family. And our team in Brazil, I just thank you for continued divine health and healing for them. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, so this weekend started out on Friday night with First Friday. It was cold and it was snowy and the roads weren't the greatest, but thank you so much that we're able to make it out for our outreach. I'm sorry, I feel like I'm not speaking in complete sentences this morning. I apologize. Thank you for those of you that were able to make it out. Those that weren't, again, I know some were homesick, sick with sick kids, and that's totally okay. But we had a really amazing night. There weren't a ton of people out. So First Friday, we go to downtown Canton. The first Friday of every month, they have an arts festival, so their galleries are open, and there's usually a good number of people that are down there. With the weather, there weren't that many, but we still had really incredible connections with people. And I think because it was kind of a slower night overall, we got to have more connection and just really good conversations, some deeper conversations. So I'm going to try and be brief to sum up all of the amazing things that happened. It started off, we usually like meet in the McDonald's down there, and I was there, and Matthew came out for his first time at First Friday. Woo! Matthew, we are so glad to have you. We started out in the McDonald's, and he actually knew one of the gentlemen that was in there, so we started talking with him, and I just had the opportunity, since we had that extra time, to really just share the gospel with him. He was raised in a church, but when I asked him if he wanted prayer for anything, he said, well, pray that I make it to heaven. So he came from a background, the same background that I did, where there wasn't that assurance of salvation. So I really just got to share with him. And Matthew and even another friend of that guy's was sharing some verses that I was able to weave in, just letting him know, like, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you confess with your mouth. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So just affirming that to him, you will be saved. You can be sure of it. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry. He was getting a little bit older, and so you could tell that was kind of on his mind. And so that was just really incredible. And I encouraged Matthew, just keep talking to him about that as you see him. Keep sowing those seeds, because in that moment he still had some questions and still didn't fully grasp it. So it didn't seem like he was ready. I got a chance to pray for him, but it didn't seem like he was ready to, make a heart declaration of that. And that was just the start of the night. Then we went out. We had some other really great opportunities. Ashley from Malone was there, and she saw some friends of hers. So got to talk with them and pray with them. And there were some others as well. I know I'm skipping a few, but at the end of the night, Amanda and I ran into a gentleman that Jordan and Ashley and Denny's group had run into at last First Friday, and Jordan's really connected with him and kept in touch with him, and it was just another opportunity. Amanda and I really felt it was a divine connection that we got to see him again and really just demonstrate what it truly means to be a lover of God and a follower of Jesus. And we could tell that he was impacted by that. So really, really awesome. That's the first Friday of every month, so you can plan for it. The next one will be coming up in March. We'd love to have you out for that. If you have any other questions about that, you can see Andy. Some other things I want to highlight coming up. This Wednesday is our anti-human trafficking lunch hour prayer from noon to one. If you can join us, you're welcome to bring your lunch, and we just gather and pray for an end to human trafficking and for all of the things that go along with that. Then, let's see, this Friday, February 14th is Valentine's Day. We will not be having healing rooms this Friday. We just encourage you to enjoy spending Valentine's Day with your loved ones. Ashley and Haley are putting on a babysitting missions fundraiser. So if you want some time away with your wife or your hubby and you need some place for your kids to go, you can see Ashley, and they would be happy to take care of the children, which will be so much fun for the kids also. Then on Sunday, the team will be back and they will be sharing testimonies. So next Sunday, it's going to be a fiery and a powerful morning, I'm sure. Hope you can make it for that. Want to remind you that the third Friday of every month, so first Friday we do our first Friday outreach. The third Friday of every month is Lighthouse Prayer. We don't always talk about it. I don't always remember to announce it. But from 6 to 7:30 p.m., the time is wrong in the bulletin, we changed that. 6 to 7:30 p.m., we come here to gather and pray. Everyone is welcome. We just pray for whatever God puts on our heart. So it's different every month, but we would love to have more people come and join for that corporate time of prayer. And then I mentioned last week, March 20th, Friday, we'll be having our next Watch of the Lord. That's all night from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. Again, just an opportunity to get into God's presence, to seek his face, to worship, and to pray for the things that are on his heart. And then just for this to be, you guys can keep this in mind also, Sunday, April 5th through Saturday, April 11th. That seems like it's so far away, but I'm sure it'll be here before we know it. That's the week leading up to Easter. That's when we're going to have our next 24/7 fire and incense, worship and prayer here. So the church is open. We invite people to come and pray. We'll have specific times of worship Tuesday night and then also Friday night. We're hoping to have some visiting teams in from other churches in the area to be able to worship together. And I think that'll be just so awesome. No, I did not mention that. Do you want to come up here? I don't know the details all on that. Thanks for that reminder, James.
So last month, there was a gathering at Arlington Avenue Church of God. And so some of us, it was during mission training weekend, some of us were able to be a part of that. And it was a gathering of fellowships in the community, Stark County particularly, of worship and hearing the word and just a strategic way of seeing what the Lord can do through these meetings, through these through the leaders that are leading them, to see revival in our community, to see the Lord come and to see him just bring unity of heart as well. And so the next meeting is going to be taking place this coming Saturday, February 15th, at the doors open at 11:30 a.m. And Frontline will be having a team worshiping there, leading in worship. And it is from total from 11:30 to 1 p.m. And so I don't know if you have the image pulled up, Justin, or not. You'll be getting an email about it regardless, but if you can just keep that in your mind as well, February 15th, we would be representing Frontline, not just our pastors going to this, but we're Jackson Township Fellowship going there to unite in heart with those that are coming from the other community churches as well. So you are invited to be a part of that as well. Perhaps we'll brighten that next time. But this is going to be a recurring gathering that takes place every so often throughout the year to encourage encountering the Lord, knowing who Jesus is, and they'll be presenting presenting opportunities throughout the year for fellowships, for churches to engage in the community and reach the community through evangelism and the gospel. So you'll be seeing more about that, hearing more about that throughout the year, and Pastor Bill will have more to share on as well. So bless you all.
Before Lawrence comes up, we want to share some amazing Brazilian updates. So to kick it off, we have a video. Some of you saw this on Tuesday night, but some of you did not, so enjoy.
Hello, Sherry.
Hi.
Would you like to update the whole team on Sunday?
On Sunday was awesome. The team split up, and half went with PB, and the other half went with PMP. I got the short straw, according to him, and I was with Pastor Bill morning and afternoon. It was awesome. We had a great time. I can't speak for PMP, but I'm sure that was just as awesome. But we're having a great time. We love you all, and bless you.
Hi, everyone. Mike here. We're actually in City of God at the moment. We're at our worship center, and Casa de Jesus is right across the way. And so we're actually working on some painting right now. We're painting the interior of the worship center. We're getting it ready for some additional artistic painting that we're going to do, just to really liven it up. It's going to look really awesome. And then we're working on a worship center sign for the FMI, the Frontline Centro de Adoração. We're going to have a sign in between the windows for the outside. So we're in the process of designing that as well. And then yesterday, we had a chance to minister here in the church. So City of God has, Casa de Jesus has church on Monday nights. And so our team had a chance to minister. Cynthia preached. We also worked with the kids, did crafts, and it's just been really awesome. The presence of God has been so strong. We've seen many of the kids here in the last week get saved. Many of them touched in the presence of God. And as you can see on the outside, this is the stairway to the second level, which is being worked on as well. So God's doing really exciting things here in City of God and also in Heliopolis. So thank you so much for praying for us. And we're praying for you. So just continue to keep us in prayer for this next week. And we're excited to see what God does.
Hard at work in here painting. Let's go check out what the rest of the team is up to.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
We are hard at work cleaning here in the church, all of the mats and the floors. And in here, we are preparing to make a bunch of hot dogs and send out food to all of the homes here in Sinaj Daniels.
So they had a kind of a hot dog outreach to some various places, and then Justin, if you could bring up there's a next video of the inside of the worship center once they got everything painted. I'm encouraged to see them painting. Some of you that don't know, I'm a house painter.
Here's the update of our new
check
worship
this out.
Center.
Nice and fresh.
And there's Cynthia and Darlene, and they're going to kind of give us a narration here of what's been going on the last few days. And Steph's cleaning us up. Oh my goodness, this is so amazing. I'm just kind of going all the way around here and to the wall, and of course the ceiling. The ceiling was painted completely white everywhere, and all the walls. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, we painted all the wall white. They were multi different colors before. And drew the map. Well, Mike designed it, several traced it, a few painted it. Welcome!
You couldn't hear it. The verse around the outside of the walls is Luke 4:18-19, which is the foundation verse of our ministry.
Thank you, Lord.
So that's awesome. And again, the center who we partner with Iris, it's literally right across the way. See that blue wall there?
In the middle of getting a new sign.
That's Iris. Sao Paulo, right there.
Here we are right across from Casa. Within about four steps. Hey, everybody! Here we are. Oh my goodness.
So this just started out as what? See? A super small little section. Squishy and literally we bought the place to the right of it. And then it expanded and then we just went up from there. So it's almost quadrupled in size.
Highly unusual.
Which is just amazing. And so the second story that's up on top, she's going to show up there hopefully in a second here. The second floor is going to be with what Inez is doing with...
We have our steps.
I forget the name. Ben DeSeo, which is the pajamas, for you guys who don't remember from Relentless Pursuit.
The
pajamas with the Bible characters for that they are doing. So that's going to be a workplace up there to help create jobs and also be another gathering place for people there, which is amazing. And so there's also some pictures, if you guys want to go to the website, of their week with the kids. They just had an amazing time in both places of washing feet and doing crafts and sharing the gospel with them. And as you heard, you know, Sherry share a little bit, on last Sunday they split. They went to two churches in the morning, two churches in the evening, and just hit up Brazil with so many amazing things and reaching out with the gospel. And then what happened, and Jess, if you can bring up some of the pictures of the send yesterday... And Brazil was the Send Brazil. And that is put on by Lou Engel and The Call, except Lou Engel really isn't The Call now anymore. They changed the name to The Send. It's not The Call anymore because they're sending people out. And so this is 80,000 people, I believe, in... So, huh? Okay, Andy Bird's doing The Send. So this is 80,000 people in a stadium in Brazil, and there were actually three simultaneous spots that were going on. If you tilt your head sideways, you can kind of see what's happening. But so I got a couple of these last night from Pastor Murray Pat. Just our team was there, like 80,000 Brazilians worshiping. And then obviously, like I said, this has happened in different places. And knowing that this is like a super pivotal time for Brazil. If you want to go to the next one, because we can't really watch that continually sideways. So this is Pastor Murray Pat and Pastor Bill were backstage last night. And so they sent us some of these videos, which I was like, wow, that's awesome. So Cynthia was texting me about it and I was asking her, and she's like, to hear 80,000 Brazilians at once worshiping Jesus was just amazing. I mean, the place was packed. Look at that. And there's a couple other pictures, but earlier in the day, Todd White was there from Lifestyle Christianity. If you guys remember him, he's got all the dreadlocks and walks in all kinds of signs and wonders. And he was testifying, and he said that he had gotten word from somebody else at the Send in Brasilia that the president of Brazil prayed to give his life to Jesus and became born again. I'll just say that again. The president of Brazil, through what was happening here, prayed to give his life to Jesus and became born again. And you can look for it. There's different, like, just the stadium just erupted when they heard that news, realizing that God had positioned him for such a time as this. And it's just so crazy. There's a couple pictures of our team there. But knowing that this is truly a historical time for Brazil, there's Pastor Joseo soaking up the presence of the Lord in the heat. And there's, I believe, Hyla. If you guys remember, this is, takes you back a little bit. She lives in the City of God favela. The Lord has touched her in some special ways. She literally had a prayer wall near where her bedroom is, small apartment, everything else. She has a jar that she has on her... like counter that she's saving money to go to Mozambique just because of how the Lord's touching her heart and everything. And there's Pastor Bill and Pastor Murray Pat with, of course, that's Rick Pino or Jack Black, but Rick Pino. And then here's Pastor Bill and Pastor Murray Pat with Heidi. So Heidi was there for a little bit, which I'm sure they were happy to see each other. I think there's one more. I think it's in there. I don't know if I sent it or not, but there's a picture of I don't know if you guys remember Stephen Nazura. He went to Malone. He came here and he led worship a couple times with the House of Prayer from Canton. And then there he is. And so he's been all over the world. He's actually been living in India for the last like year and a half, and gets all over the world. And then here he is running into Pastor Bill and Pastor Murray Pat there. So it's just So amazing. So obviously knowing that the Lord was establishing these divine connections and relationships through what is happening through the Senate Brazil, and I promise you that they're coming in next Sunday with all kinds of fire and anointing and testimonies that I can't even hold a candle to in describing it, because words can't describe it enough. So you just have to be here to hear them come and share. But they're excited. I believe they're coming back on Tuesday, and it's just going to be an amazing time. Monday. They're coming back Monday. Tomorrow. Which would be tomorrow? 122. Yes. So Lawrence, 122. You got a timer. Did you send him all the pictures that you had talked about with captions? All right. So we will turn it over to Lawrence. Lawrence, do you want the Kingdom Kids to stay in here, or are they released? Kingdom Kids, you are released to have fun.
Thank you.
Hello.
Okay. Whew. All the kids are out. We're here. I can't tell you how excited I've been about this morning. If you know anything about me, my wife will attest to the fact that I'm kind of an all or nothing, like, on both ends of the spectrum. And I knew that by this morning, like, I would either be, like, bounding in full of energy or just dragging myself to the finish line. But either way, I knew Monday's coming. So I'm down to, like, let's see, 24 hours, 25 hours until my beloved wife comes home. And she can handle my four kids. Why don't we all pray? It's come to that. Father, I'm so grateful for grace. I'm grateful for mercy. I'm grateful for your presence. I'm thankful for testimonies that we get to stand on. I'm thankful for the promises of your word. I'm thankful, Lord, that you put us in places where we don't have to walk this walk alone. That you surround us with other believers. You surround us with brothers and sisters and spiritual mothers and fathers to speak life into us. And Father, we just want to embrace that fully today. So Lord, everything that you have for each one of us this morning, we just say have your way. Lord, that this morning would be about encountering you. It would be about stepping into parts of the destiny that you've put upon each one of us. So, Lord, I just pray that that would be fully released this morning in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. It has been an adventurous 2 weeks for me. I'll share a couple things very quickly, and then I'll get to the actual message. So, this past Thursday was like one of the easiest days that I had had. I had my kids, they were in school. I was actually hanging out with Riley Maxfield for the day, and she was like the most productive that we've ever been. She came to work with me. She stayed on the phone, like Doc McStuffins hanging out time. Lunch came around. She didn't even want to leave. We had food brought in. I thought, this, like, I stayed at work all day. It was, I mean, people at work were astounded. They were just shocked to see me there all day. And I'm thinking, like, that was the easiest day that I have had yet. And so I'm texting my in-laws in Arizona. They're just randomly asking for updates. And I'm talking, many of you guys know Jesus and Krista. And I was talking to Krista. I was telling her about how great Thursday was, and she goes, sounds like the calm before the storm. So I rebuked her. And then Friday happened. So Friday morning, we're in a routine. I've got this stuff down. The kids are getting dressed. I'm dressed. The dog's out, like getting a little run around. My phone is upstairs charging. Everybody's had breakfast. Everybody's got their clothes on. I was like, we're going to make it to school on time. I go upstairs to get my phone. I get a text from my wife in Brazil and the school. Snow day. And here's... Here's the thing. I'm fine with snow days normally. Like, you know, you just learn to roll with the punches. My last day of having all the kids, like, I mean, granted the weekend, but there were other adults that I could, you know, rely on. I froze. I announced it, expecting, you know, cheers from the peanut gallery. And no joke, I got the exact opposite. Like, exactly. Is anybody else as shocked as I was? So I announce it, and two of the kids are, like, really upset because they were in ski club. And the ski club got canceled. And so now not only am I trying to figure out what to do with my Friday, I don't even have the luxury of, like, happy kids to carry through this. I'll get to the point here. So because Thursday was so productive, I left some things on my desk at work thinking I'll just finish this Friday because Thursday was so easy, I can easily accomplish these things Friday. So Friday, I walk into the office with five kids in tow. I get into my office, and I'm not exaggerating. At one point, I had six people in my office asking me about how to make some type of electronic device work for them. And so I'm sitting in my office, five kids, one adult, pulling their phone up, saying, hey, how do you get this? How do you get this? So after an hour and a half of getting nothing done, I did, like, the one thing that I know I needed to get done, and we piled all in the car, and I ran a couple of other errands that have their own story in and of themselves, which I'm not even going to get into. All that to say that I have arrived to Sunday morning, and we're here. So big round of applause for me, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, today's message is not about you. Not really. I wanted to talk a little bit about, I don't get this opportunity very often to have two messages relatively close to one another. And after 2 weeks ago, after I shared a message, I went out to lunch and I was talking with a couple people, and we were talking a little bit about unpacking some of the things that I was sharing a little bit about 2 weeks ago. And if you weren't here, I was talking just kind of about working beyond circumstances and what it looks like to walk with the Lord faithfully through things. And so I've spent the last couple of weeks just kind of praying about what that looks like practically, but also from a place of expectation and being able to walk this out from a place of stewarding well the responsibilities that the Lord gives us. And so I was praying about it, and the Lord just kind of, the Lord just kind of kept giving me several things, and I started unpacking it a little bit. And so as I'm praying about how the Lord wanted this to look like this morning, it's going to be somewhat interactive. So it's going to be a little bit different. If you do not have something to take notes with, and it's not because of what I'm going to share, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity. We're going to have a little bit of soaking in between a couple of these bullet points here. If you don't have any way of taking notes, whether it's an electronic device or pen and paper, please raise your hand and we'll make sure somebody gets you something, because I want to share a couple of things that the Lord put on my heart, but I also want to give you an opportunity to soak on those things. Oh. You shall receive the prophet's reward. Then you can all have it. That's how I declared myself a prophet. I was at the grocery store 2 weeks ago. Maybe you're just going to get a bunch of stories this morning. I was at the grocery store 2 weeks ago, and I was checking out with the kids, and the cash register, he put one of the grocery bags on the top shelf thing where you're checking out, and it fell over. and there wasn't anything breakable in it. And I reassured him. I said, there's nothing breakable in it. I said, actually, that oil, we had the plastic container, not the glass one. He goes, oh, man, you must be like one of those things. What do you call them? Like a prophet. I was like, oh, yes. Yes, I am. So I took that word. So excited to see what happens with that. All right. So just a couple of bullet points. And I was up until like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, trying to narrow this down a little bit. So what does it look like to actually practically walk out this faith? And I don't know why this number stuck out to me so much, but there was a certain point. I'm always fascinated with seeing what mature believers look like who've demonstrated a life of faith with longevity. And I think I've shared that a little bit. Like, I've always appreciated, because you hear, even in Scripture, you see people who have these tremendous lives of faith that just get to a place where it doesn't end well for them. And so I'm always fascinated to see what that looks like, because we have so many examples, even in this house with our own pastors, of what it looks like to endure with faith and obedience and to walk out with longevity. And so I don't know why I was always so fascinated with this number, but I remember I was basically counting down the days to the point where my life on earth, I had been saved longer than I had not been saved. And for some reason, that number, as it was approaching, I just became very aware of it. I was saved when I was 15 years old during the summer. So I knew it was like June or July. And so August of when I was 30 years old in August, for some reason, that just really stuck out to me. It dawned on me that I had now been on this earth as a believer longer than somebody who did not know the Lord. And so I've always kind of appreciated what that kind of entails and what that looks like. And also, it for me at least, it gets me to this place where it creates an expectation in the sense of, you know, what does it look like to be mature in our faith? What does it look like to walk that out in a way that's glorifying and honoring God, but beyond just getting through it, but walking in a place of victory? Does that make sense? So a couple of things that the Lord highlighted as far as how do we walk this out with endurance? How do we walk out this life practically to go beyond our own circumstances? And the first thing that the Lord highlighted is establishing who you are or whose you are. And this, I'm not going to unpack this too much. So this is basically going back to last week's message that Jamie gave. This is all about the cross. It's the foundation of everything. If you don't know whose you are, who you belong to, it really sets you down the path of destruction. And I'm not going to give the full gospel message, but if we don't understand that when we accept Christ into our heart, that we become a part of His, that we belong to Him, it actually kind of, it puts us down, even one, or you guys have heard this example, if you go 1 degree off of something and you travel that path for a very long time, you're miles and miles away from the mark, right? So this is the path. This is what kind of gets you in that right place. Who do you belong to? So in 1 Corinthians 2:2, it says, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And that Paul wrote about this, that there is nothing else that is more critical than knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the foundation. And if you think about it as believers, that's really where everything stems out of. So this is not something beyond that message. This is just simply a message of how to actually walk that out. Because sometimes I think we approach things with this mentality that says, like, okay, I got that. What's next? There really isn't a next. It's just, how do I develop what I have? So there's nothing among for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So we're going to start there. That's the foundation. And I encourage you, if you did not get an opportunity to hear Jamie's message last week, go there. She unfolded it beautifully. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Recognizing that as children, you now have a father who supplies all of your needs, who is willing to guide and direct you in everything that you do. And that's the foundation of all that we are, is that as you become a child of his, that directs the path of everything that we are. So I want to take just a couple of minutes. I'm going to play a song here. I'm going to have you guys play a song. And we actually sang this in worship. But I want you to take a few minutes and actually meditate on the words. And for those of you listening in the podcast, we're not able, for copyright reasons, to play it. But it's going to be No Longer Slaves. And I think we might actually be able to include a link that will give them access to it. So, but here's some of the, actually, I'll read some of the words to you first. So, we're going to take a minute, and I want you guys just to meditate on that and ask the Lord to reveal his heart to you in that process. So why don't you guys play that song? It says, "From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." We'll never be able to walk in our destiny if we don't recognize where our destiny comes from. We have to be able to receive gifts from a good father. And the enemy is going to do everything he possibly can to sabotage that. So point two, I labeled it stand, wait, and move forward. Ephesians 6:10-18. It's talking about the armor of God. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." I had to read this like 5 or 6 times, because I'm trying to express something that I think the Lord is at least trying to reveal to me, and I don't want to be misunderstood here. It talks about standing firm when the enemy is attacking, and the more I read this along with the next verse that I'm going to touch on, I'm seeing this pattern where the enemy, our role when the enemy attacks, is to simply stand firm. And so there's a difference between when the enemy is attacking and standing firm versus waiting on the Lord. And so I'm seeing this in Ephesians, where it's talking about everything that we do with when the enemy attacks is just simply to stand firm. I saw a really funny meme the other day, which I wish I'd looked it up, because it actually depicts it perfectly. It was actually from a wrestling scene, for you really big wrestling fans. there might be one or two. And it's these two, like, ginormous wrestlers, like, facing, like, they're, like, looking at each other. And this little wrestler guy comes up, like, standing between them. And, I mean, it'd be like, and I don't have a good example. But this little wrestler guy is like comes up in between these two, and he's like this, staring up at him. And then he just starts hitting them as hard as he can. And both of them are just kind of like, what is happening? And then they just kind of chuck them out of the ring. But I feel like that's what happens sometimes, is that the enemy brings all of this chaos. He loves chaos. And we sometimes get so wrapped up in the chaos that we forget the fact that it's not really impacting us. Does that make sense? We get so enveloped in this idea that there's chaos happening, and so we have to, like, battle all of this. And in reality, what Scripture tells us is that we really get victory in rest. So sometimes one of the enemy's tricks is just to get us wrapped up in the chaos. Like, that's not, we can win, we can battle through it, but sometimes victory looks like just staying in a place of rest when chaos is happening around us. And so Ephesians 6, when it talks about this, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Sometimes all we have to do is just stand in one place, just allow the enemy to burn that thing out, stay in a place of peace and rest. If you stay in a place of peace and rest, that's how you become victorious when the enemy is trying to create the chaos around you. But what does that look like? That I was sharing this a little bit last week, or over the last 2 weeks, about this idea of what it looks like to wait on the Lord. And sometimes I think we take a passive role in that, of waiting on the Lord. We just kind of sit there, sit back, and we just kind of wait for something to happen. And I think the Lord is really challenging us. So in Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, yet those who wait for the Lord, you guys are all, a lot of you are familiar with this. It says, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I believe that waiting on the Lord is something that we actively do. So we're called to actively wait upon the Lord. And what does that look like? That looks like, one, staying in a place of rest, but continue to go before the throne room of grace in prayer. You know, if you look at the end of this verse in Ephesians, it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And when you're waiting on the Lord, it doesn't look like just sitting back. You're actively seeking him out. Like, waiting on him means that I'm not going to do something until I hear you move, but I'm going to continue to go before you in prayer for this. I'm going to carry these burdens. I'm going to take my responsibility, the roles that I have. So what does this look like on a practical step? It looks like being willing to pray out even when you don't feel like it. Is there anybody here who's ever felt like not praying? For the pastors listening on the podcast, a couple hands went up. There are moments, and I know this feeling. Like, there's just times where you just know in your spirit, like, I need to pray, but you're like, I'm so tired. Rest is of the Lord too. I'm gonna take a nap. I'm gonna grab some chocolate, some ice cream. I'm going to rest in the Lord on my couch with Netflix. Obedience looks like actually, and this is a very hard concept. I try to explain this to my children. Like, obedience does not mean you want to do it all the time. Can anybody else attest to that? Like, I don't feel like doing everything that I know I'm supposed to be doing. And yet, it's that act of obedience. So, on a practical step, it just looks like, hey, I don't feel it. And sometimes, how many of you guys have ever been able to break through that just by praying? I can't tell you how many times there's that feeling of like, we need to pray about this. And you're just kind of like, let's get this ball rolling. Okay, let's... Lord, Jesus, God, King, Lord. And it starts like that. And sometimes that's okay. Like, we get this idea, like, it has to be this powerful prayer, like what I hear in the middle of the send of people on stage declaring in front of tens of thousands of people, like, my prayer should start like that every time. I wish. I would be all for that. That's fine. If you're there, great. Show me how later. But sometimes it just looks like being obedient to step out. So don't be afraid about what it sounds like or what it looks like. Just be obedient to be willing to take it before the Lord. He loves those prayers. He loves those prayers that demonstrate like, oh, God, I don't feel it. I don't feel it right now. I'm just being obedient and carrying this before you. Okay, this one's interesting. Philippians 3, 13 through 14, it says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I had a bit of a revelation recently, talking, sharing, and praying with a few people. It talks about pressing on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One thing that I believe is a key to being able to step forward is recognizing the promises of God. So if we're looking back in the example of the armor with Ephesians, you've got all of this armor, and if you look at what the Lord gives you to extinguish the arrows of the enemy, it's a shield. It's not an offensive weapon. It's the weapon that it's the guard that you use. You stand firm and you just allow those flaming arrows to be extinguished. But here, he's talking about what it looks like to press on, to go forward, to move forward. So there's standing against the enemy, there's waiting for the Lord, and then there's pressing on. But it's really interesting the way it's worded. It says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward. It's this idea that what's happened in your past, the very thing that the enemy brings to your doorstep in order to steal, kill, and destroy, in order to try and stop you from moving forward, to bring shame and condemnation. You guys ever do that? Like, I have that constantly, this thought of like, oh, well, I didn't do this right 2 weeks ago, or I had this problem a week ago, or whatever it might be. It's just constantly, like, the enemy is going to constantly remind you of the shortcomings. If you're having thoughts that are in your head and they don't leave you feeling empowered, even if the Lord brings something convicting to your heart, it should leave you feeling empowered to have victory over it. So if you have thoughts that are just simply leaving you wallowing in shame and condemnation, that's a pretty easy indicator that it's from the enemy. Which means more than likely, if you're having those thoughts, the Lord's trying to reveal something to you that's the opposite of that. Does that make sense? So it says, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So if we're moving forward, I shared this with somebody recently that we were praying through a couple things. I said, if the enemy is attacking you, you are called as a son and a daughter to battle towards the promises of God. So we're not, let's see if I can word this right. Like, we're not fighting against what the enemy's bringing to your doorstep. You're fighting towards the promises of God. So if the enemy is bringing something to your doorstep, your responsibility is to go to the Word of God, hear from the Lord, and figure out what the promise is that you're moving towards. So instead of saying, oh man, the enemy keeps bringing this sickness to me. Oh, sickness, 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 go away, go away, go away. Do you see what's happened? Like, all of your focus is geared towards fighting off what the enemy is bringing to your doorstep. But how do we really get victory over that? We go over here, we go to the promises of God that says that Jesus Christ died for my sins, but he died for my healing. That by his wounds I'm healed. So in order to battle what the enemy's bringing to my doorstep over here, I just keep moving closer towards that upward call. I don't have to say no, 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 no to the enemy. I just simply have to stay on this path of saying yes to God. It's that chaos again. It's that chaos that the enemy's bringing, like, oh, look, sickness. Oh, school's closed. Chaos. Chaos. I mean, sheer chaos. Pandemonium. If I just keep my eyes, that's why it's so clear in Scripture. It talks about, you know, not looking to the left or to the right. What's happening on the left or the right? Chaos. If your life is anything like mine, the left and the right is chaotic. So what do? You just keep pressing forward towards the promises, the high calling of God. I love that. I love that promise in Scriptures in Philippians 3. It says, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You do not have to. Okay. We talked about this. You guys have heard this. You guys have heard who has not heard of the reference to the snake line? Raise your hand if you've never heard that reference. We haven't pulled that out in a while. So there's, I can't remember who was sharing it, Pastor Bill, Pastor Mary Pat, or we heard it somewhere else. But there's a certain part of the altitude when you're going up a mountain, it says it's the snake line. Snakes can't go any higher than that part. It's too cold, the altitude, like they just can't. So if you're soaring up, this was the comparison they made. If you're soaring up, mount up with wings of eagles, you're up there with the Lord. The snake, the enemy, can't get up here. So, I mean, this is not my revelation. I'm just kind of regurgitating something that I remember. Like, we're called to be ascending up to the Lord. Moses did it. He ascended up the mountain. God invited his people up to come up the mountain. It was fear and the wrong kind of fear that kept the Israelites away from ascending. That's a different message. Snake line. Ascend with the Lord. We move towards the promises of God. We don't have to continue to keep all of our focus on this. Be aware of it. Be mindful of it. Like, I'm not saying just turn a blind eye to all of it. But if we stand firm and we move towards God, that's how we're going to get that victory. Amen? All right. So, on a practical example of that, if you have something that you are battling against, take it to the Lord and say, God, what is your promise for me in these circumstances, in this situation? Hear from God. Like, don't just get caught up in fighting against it, but from a practical standpoint, say, okay, say you are battling, I'm trying to think of a good, relatively generic example. Say you're just battling thoughts that are coming against you all the time. Either depression, condemnation, shame, whatever it might be. Go to the Lord and say, God, what is it that you say about me? And you, I'm telling you right now, you will hear, whether it's directly like an audible voice, a dream, a vision, a picture, or just going back to the Word of God and finding out. That's why the Word is so critical. Like, you see the promises of God in Scriptures. That's who you were created to be. So grab onto that. So when next time those thoughts come wave after wave of shame, condemnation, whatever they were against you, you just go back to the Word and say, this is who I am. Even if you don't feel it. A lot of this stuff are things that you do because your spirit, like, you know in your spirit you're supposed to do it. I think that's part of the mark of maturity, is you're able to recognize, identify where the enemy is bringing chaos, and you just go back to the Lord. So fight towards the promise, not against the lie. Does that make sense? Cool. Okay, next point. You are in a family. Light and death. I talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago, so I'm trying not to spend too much time on this. In Mark 4:21-22, I put the message up just because I think it just says it a little bit more clearly. It says, Jesus went on, does anyone bring a lamp home and put it under a wash tub or beneath the bed? Don't you put it up on a table or on the mantle We're not keeping secrets. We're telling them. We're not hiding things. We're bringing them out into the open. Here's the thing. You can willingly bring things into the light, or they will get exposed to the light. What is the end result in either scenario? Light. When we're brought into a place, into a family, it requires a level of transparency. And that doesn't mean just sharing random things to share just to get them out. Let me reword that. Transparency, true, genuine transparency, requires a level of vulnerability. And so when you're placed into a covenant family with the Lord, he puts people in your lives that you're able to bring things to light so that they can be revealed and exposed and removed. So you're in a family. Light and death. Repentance. I haven't heard that word in at least a week. The value of repentance is it washes the slate clean. We cannot shy away from those two things. They're probably some of the hardest things to walk in on a regular basis, transparency and repentance. And yet they're absolutely key to a successful walk with the Lord. Why do you think they're so hard? I mean, if the enemy can see how critical those two things are, because in both scenarios, it requires a level of humility, doesn't it? If I'm being totally transparent with people, like I have to be able to recognize I'm not doing everything right. I know it's a general assumption from most people that I am doing everything right, but a level of transparent... A level of transparency requires humility and vulnerability. And we have to be able to bring those things voluntarily to the light and repent of them. And that's the only way we're really going to see breakthrough in some of these cycles. Amen? Oh, man, I had so many verses here. What do I want to do? All right, let's jump to Romans 8. I'm going to hop to a couple different things, guys. Bear with me. Romans 8:38, and I think Jamie actually touched on this a little bit last week. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is just kind of re-emphasizing that idea that when you're in a covenant relationship, it is okay to be vulnerable. It is okay to be transparent. Because when you're in that covenant relationship, that it looks like this. We probably don't do it with each other as well as God does it with us. But if you think about the way relationships were designed, like if I have a good relationship, if I have a healthy relationship, it involves all of these things. It involves transparency. It involves vulnerability. And we want that not only in our homes, but we want that in the body of Christ. Like this should be the tip of the spear. We are supposed to be the example to the rest of the world of what it looks like. And I think in order to do that, we have to be willing to take that standard to a higher level. I think one of the greatest... breakthroughs that I've ever had in my personal walk was where the Lord started convicting me to stop comparing myself to other people. Because when I was comparing myself to other people, it either brought shame and condemnation for not meeting that standard, or it brought justification for me to not have to do more. I don't see where either one of those are really what God intended. If I come to you, okay, I'll speak from personal experience because it's happened on both ends of I've been on both ends of that conversation. when I bring something that is difficult, that I have walked in shame or condemnation about, or that has been hard for me, that requires a level of transparency, and I've brought that forth into relationships of people in this house that I trust and love, it's opened the door for me to walk in freedom, and it's increased the depth of the relationship that I've had with those people. And the exact same thing has happened on the other side, where other people have trusted me. I can't tell you how encouraging it is. It's humbling. It's incredibly humbling when somebody else brings something to you that says, like, "Hey, I need prayer for this. I need to kind of walk through this. I have this going on in my life. What? Pray with me." Like that's nothing to be prideful about. That's just simply something. If we start to understand that we are not walking this life alone, it unlocks a key to create an atmosphere of freedom. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm having a hard time contextualizing the value of this. The moment we realize that we're not doing this alone, it opens the door for freedom. Like we're not in this. The Lord is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you, and He's going to put people in your lives to walk that out. He sent the disciples out two by two, even the animals, a Noah's Ark. He brought in two by two. Like, there's a reason we're in each other's lives, whether we embrace it fully or not, whether we care to admit it or not. There's a reason. Each one of you guys are in my life, and there's a reason I'm in your life. God designed it for that. So why not take full advantage of that? The fact that you're not doing this by yourself. Actually, that does bring me to the next song. I have a couple songs here. I want you guys just to kind of just take a minute. This is a song. I love this song. Jason Upton wrote this song. It says, "Never Alone," I think it's called. It's got a beautiful testimony, which we actually don't, I'm going to leave that off for today. In the middle of it, I encourage you guys to go check it out, but just take a minute and listen to the words and just allow the Lord to speak into your heart. Go ahead, guys. So on a practical level, what does that look like? That looks like establishing an open dialogue and communication with people that demonstrates a level of trust towards one another. Good? All right. So it says, sometimes we feel so afraid, sometimes we feel so lonely, sometimes we feel confused, sometimes we feel so helpless, and we don't know what to do. It's so hard to believe it, if we've never heard it, the voice of the Father saying our name. You're not alone. I never leave you. There are times when it just looks like being faithful to continue to go before the Lord until you see a breakthrough. The next two are relatively easy to understand, but I think it's something that the Lord calls us all to grow in, is to give thanks. It's such a simple concept, and yet when you're in the middle of something, it's so hard. And yet everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It can't be more easy and clear than that. In everything, no matter what you're doing. So much of this, of what it looks like to endure through things, of to have faith and carry them through things, it just means moving against what your natural flesh feels like doing. How many of us really feel like giving thanks? We're in the middle of something that's heartbreaking and tragic. When all of our circumstances change and everything around us seems to be crashing in, how easy is it to give thanks? And yet, if that's what we're called to do in everything, I got to believe that's a key to the breakthrough. If we just maintain this attitude, this place of just giving thanks to the Father. And it doesn't mean just saying the words and walking away, but truly embracing who it is that you're giving thanks to. And so for me, one of the things that I like to do on a very practical stage is when I'm super frustrated and everything just kind of seems to be mounting up, I just take a minute and think, okay, what's happening right now that I can give the Lord thanks for? Just anything. God, even if nothing comes to mind, I just a quick prayer of desperation, just grabbing for something. Lord, show me anything. I have breath in my lungs. There. Like, just start with the most foundational, basic things. If you are trying to figure out something to be thankful for, that means that you are cognitively thinking through something. The Lord gave you that. Take that. Start there. Even something that simple. And just allow the Lord to unfold those things. And then all of a sudden, it's almost like a train taking off. It starts off really slow when you're in the middle of something. Oh, God, just thank you thank you, Lord, that I have breath today. Thank you, Lord, that I'm in a place that can give you praise openly. Thank you, Lord, that I have clothes on my back. Thank you, Lord, that I have whatever it is that the Lord's going to unfold and reveal to you in that moment. And then all of a sudden you gain some momentum. And next thing you know, you've just entered into this vein, into this place of thanksgiving, of praise. And you cannot fall into a place of, let me word it this way. It is very difficult to fall into a place of fear and complaining if you're praising the Lord, if you're giving thanks. It's very similar to what we were talking about, standing against the enemy and moving towards the promises of God. Thanksgiving is one of those ways that we move towards those promises of God, towards that upwards call of Christ Jesus. So just start eating, just make a list if you have to. Something that you know you can go to and say, these are all the ways that I've seen the Lord. Like, thank you, God, that this has happened. Thank you, Lord, that these things are here. And just allow the Lord just to touch that time of going before him. Next point, I'm going to skip the next song. Don't worry about it. The next point, I love this part. This is the fun one. Point number five. You win. At the end of the day, if you've stepped into point one, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have already won. No matter what happens on this earth, no matter what you go through, there is a place in the Lamb's Book of Life that has your name in it. You've already won that battle. Isaiah 54, verse 17, it says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. That there isn't a single weapon that can prosper. There is no weapon that can take you down. You've already won. So there's times when everything's crashing around you and you're not totally sure what's going to happen. You don't know what it looks like. You don't understand what it looks like to walk this through. Go to that place first. If that's where you need to start your list of thanksgiving, start there. I know that I am sealed by the blood of Jesus. I've already won the battle, that at the end of the day, I walk with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that the very one who created all of this, who gave me the breath of life, loves me with an everlasting love, is never going. Start there. Just begin to recognize that place. Even if everything else just looks terrible, just think, God, I know at the end of the day, I'm yours. If we just start from that place, once we recognize who he is, once we've asked him into our heart, and then all of a sudden we can just say, God, I don't know. I have no idea what's happening to me, to this life on earth. And some of you may have felt that way. I don't know why I've had to walk through the things that I've had to walk through on this earth. I don't understand them. And yet I know at the end that I've won. Revelation 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" There is a promise at the end of the book that lasts for all eternity. How much easier is it to walk through a life on earth? And we have no idea how long our time on this earth is. It could be 30, 40, 50 years. It could be 100 years. And yet, it's such a minute time in relation to the promises of eternity. This is what we get. Look at that promise. He says, "He will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and there will be no longer any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." This is the first thing. All of this, everything that you walk through on this earth fades away. Whether it's a great accomplishment by the earth standards or it's just a terrible life, all of it passes away. Have you ever thought about that? Like, try to conceptualize what that looks like. I mean, I always think about it from the perspective of I'm just having a moment while I'm up here. Bear with me. I always think about it from this place of like, even if my life was terrible on earth, I get this. But what about the opposite end of the spectrum? What if I have everything? What if my whole life is going like splendid? Everything seems to be going in order and everything's falling in place and the Lord's opening all these great doors and I'm accomplishing all these great things by the world standards. It still passes away. Even this stuff. That's why the Lord doesn't want us to get so attached to it. Like, I have dwelt so much time on this part of it. I always do that. You guys notice that? Podcast people don't know, but I'd like to walk the whole this and that. Like, I always think about that. Like, oh, man, if my life were terrible, I would still want to give the Lord all of the praise and all of the glory. If everything were falling apart, if there was sickness and things were coming against me and I just had to like live, you know, relying on the Lord for every single thing and opening the door, I would still give him praise. No matter what happened, I want to be able to give him praise. But think about it on this end of the spectrum way over here. Like, oh man, I've got everything I need, everything I want, even more than I could have imagined. It still passes away. And even if you have all of this stuff, these great things on the earth, and your life is splendid, it passes away, but it's better.
It's better in eternity. I don't care what your life looks like on this earth. If you follow Jesus, it is better in eternity. I don't care if you have billions of dollars, 17 homes, 20 cars, 6 yachts, whatever else you can imagine, your own McDonald's, I don't really care. It is better to know Jesus in eternity. Think if you were to be given everything on this earth, anything you could have imagined, you had every one of your dreams on this earth come true. It pales in comparison to knowing Jesus for all of eternity. How many of you guys have dealt with a young child that feels like they know everything? I have been with 4 kids nonstop for 2 weeks. I have come across that at one point or another. And yet, in their anywhere from 6 to 11 years on this earth, I feel that in my 38, I have experienced and know slightly more. How much more does the Creator God of all eternity know more than us? So we're looking at whatever end of the spectrum you are on this earth, which, by the way, is a standard set by the world. Like, who's to say that having no big house or anything is bad? I know lots of people with really big houses are just totally miserable. Like, that is not the source. But if we know God, if we know Jesus, if we know, if we ask him, if we recognize who he is and what he's done, I don't care which end of the spectrum on this earth you are on. Everything fades away. Everything is better. So the next time you're facing some type of trial or circumstances or anything's coming against you and all of a sudden you start to feel that feeling of being overwhelmed and there's something just coming against you, just go back to Revelation 21. It's all going to pass away. It's all going to pass away, and all I have to do is simply give God praise, give him glory, because he's worthy. He's not worthy because of anything on this earth. Though he does do a lot. But Revelation 21 is where it ends. I don't care. Kirk Douglas passed away this week. He was 103. 103. Do you know how old that sounds by the world standards? To live on this earth for 103 years. That seems so long. So very long. And yet, in light of eternity, it is like a flash. Like, so very quickly. I don't even have personal aspirations of living to 103. Bless anybody who does, that's fine. But, yeah. Maybe once I hit 90, I'll be like, 103, here I come. But in light of eternity, we have to turn our minds towards Christ, upwards towards the call of Christ, because everything else passes away, everything else. And at the end, we win. I'm going to do one more song and then we're going to close. So I want to read a couple of the lyrics. This is Sea of Victory by Elevation Worship. Here's some of the lyrics. It says, the weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Because the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. I'm going to see the victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giant, because I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm going to see a victory. You know, it's funny. I was actually having Carl and I were testifying together over the weekend. And he was sharing kind of about a process that he was when he was learning the piano, and he was talking about somebody that was teaching him, and he was talking about like the mechanics of playing the keys versus actually the emotion that goes into it. And I don't play any instruments yet. We'll go with that. But it's so funny, like, how easily, like, conceptually, I love that. Like, you can play the exact same key with emotion and without emotion, and it actually has a different impact. So if that's the case, like, and I'm not even musical, and I can kind of, like, I can sense that. Like, I could tell when somebody's just playing a song versus, like, emotionally invested in the song. It's the same keys, right? I mean, you guys aren't playing the keys different. It's the same song. And yet there's something that connects to the emotional aspect of it. How much more is that the case in our worship? Let's not go through the motions. Let's actually engage in this process of worshiping the Lord. So for this last song, I encourage you, you guys can lay down and soak, get on your face before the Lord. You can stand up, you can dance, you can shout, but do whatever gets you to engage with the Lord in this, because this song is truth. You are going to see a victory. I don't care if you never see one on this earth, which I highly doubt is even possible. But even if your own perspective, you don't see victory on this earth, you are going to see a victory. It is in heaven, and it will last for all eternity. Amen? All right, let's play that song. You guys can jump, shout, scream, lay down, whatever the Lord tells you to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just want to declare over this house, over each and every person here, that you are going to see a victory. Lord, that each and every person here who bends the knee to the name of Jesus, who submits their lives to you, is going to see a victory. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you equip every single person here to walk in victory. I love that they just repeat that over and over and over in the song, because it's a declaration over your life, but it's a reminder to the enemy that at the end of the day, he loses. We don't have to battle against the enemy. We just have to continue moving towards the Father. So, Lord, I thank you that every person here would step into a new day of victory that you created for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, that we are equipped to walk in that fully. Father, for each and every person here, for each and every household represented, for every person in Brazil, Lord, I thank you, God, that they walk victoriously today and for the rest of the days of their lives until they see it manifesting even greater in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Go home, go fast, go to lunch, whatever the Lord puts on your heart.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.